Father, just thank you, Lord, for your many blessings, Lord, and you continue to watch and care for us, Lord. Help us to recognize and acknowledge that it's you, Lord. It's not in our own power that we provided for ourselves or for our churches or for our salvation or really anything, Lord. It's all from you. Help us to recognize and give you the honor, glory you deserve. Put you first in our lives. Love you for all that we have, Lord. So we have this teaching opportunity, Lord. Help us to learn from it and apply what we learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. So I have to have an MRI tomorrow, so I'm not going to be here. So I got a substitute. I don't know if you know how that works. You just go down the call list and, you know, you don't know who you're going to get. And so the guy I got is an older guy. And I think he's just trying to get a few extra dollars for her account. So I don't know if he's going to just put a movie in. If he does, hopefully it's, you know, Gladiator or, you know, Master and Commander or something like that. Even Kingdom of Heaven would work. So so anyway, pray for a good movie tomorrow. That's what he does. And so Brother DL. Oh, I wasn't going to tell you what it was. So he's not even in here?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Man, that was a good one. I've been thinking of that one for an hour. Man. All right.
If it's not VHS, he couldn't show it anyway.
All right. And then Brother Sean's not feeling well. And Brother Bo is teaching for him tonight. But I'm still, Brother Bo's let me steal a few minutes of his time since I'll be gone tomorrow. He'll steal it back tomorrow. So he said he has a very expensive price, but I told him he could just ask tomorrow. So, all right. So this is going along. We are changing direction a little bit. We're getting into study, and this is one thing that's been asked that probably has been pointed out is probably a need. And maybe you individually, it may not be, quote, the biggest need, but we talked about some of the things. Some need to work on leadership. Some need to work on, you know, basically making a human connection. And so we're gonna look on outline and try to go through some outlines, and you can take what I'm gonna say on an outline with a grain of salt. You may do one differently than somebody else or me and whatever. I kind of feel a little bit fortunate. I had some classes. One was in high school. I had to give a research paper and had a English teacher that demanded that you had to come up and give a presentation, but he had to use cards. And, at the moment, I kind of thought that was hard. But then in college, I had another teacher in a literature class, and we had to do the same thing and even, you know, more of it. And
index cards.
Oh, yeah. And but all, literally, I look back, that has helped. Those two classes, I feel, have helped me a lot in my ministry. Up until the last few months where things have gone a little bit sideways, but leads me to asking this: why do you have, why, what's the purpose of an outline?
Structure.
Okay, and that's literally probably the biggest one is structure. So when's the structure?
Well, when you're bringing out, so our people are falling to it.
Okay.
You have maybe a goal to get to.
Okay. What else would be the structure of that? Because that is correct.
How many study us?
And that would be the other side of it. It gives you, just as Brother Alex said, it gives you structure as you're going through whatever the topic is. And when you're studying it, it will help you in your studying, which you'll have structure that way. And so learning how to do one that you can read, that you can stay on track, that you can move along is really important. Brother Josh, I see your hand.
Well, I can just tell you from my experience, like I learned how to outline like my last couple of years in high school. And first, like when I first made sermon outlines as a preacher, I would just do like paragraphs of information and stuff and verses and stuff, no spacing, no of time. And I either have problem, one of the first problems I had in ministry preaching was I would read. I'd have my head down, I would just read what I wrote down, which is, you know, for learning and stuff, it worked for me then, but that was one of the first things, like, you can give me feedback and stuff. Like, you've got to get your head up, you've got to communicate to people and stuff. Outline for me gave me, like, it taught me, like, you know, that was when I started digitalizing stuff, like, I could embolden stuff, and just give me, like, quick head down, back up, I could communicate to an audience instead of read
right
from down.
Right. And I would tell you, if you're not somewhat proficient at that, something you ought to work on. And I got some homework that we'll go over here shortly. But when somebody is asking you something, if you maybe formulate your thoughts, kind of like, let's say in an outline, that you're going to teach something or whatever. If you formulate your thoughts that way, it'll make what you're saying a little more coherent, let's just say that. So Brother Christian was doing this the other day, and I don't know if you do this all the time. Like Brother Cameron used to do the same thing. And I would get after him about that. And now I do it too. Okay. And so, but I'm aware of it. And I'm not going to say I never do it, but I broke myself of it. And I kind of, if I start doing, I guess I pick up on it. And it's a simple thing, you know, that kind of stuff. Okay. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Well, you just, you're talking and you have a point, you're bringing a point and you're, I will tell you that kind of ruins your flow. Mm-hmm. You may have a really, you may have everything down really well. And you're, you know, you got the topic and everything else, but now you're ruining your ability to present that. And where an outline might help you to break that, because you're going to study the outline, you're going to have it down, you're going to commit this stuff to memory and kind of help. So I'm going to put Sister Caitlin on the spot a little bit. So this is how I do some, okay? I'm assuming when you have to talk to people, you put some type of outline together too.
Yes.
And so no matter what you're doing, whether it's for the ministry or you have a job or maybe you have to give a presentation at work, learning how to put an outline together is going to work. And you're kind of doing it all for, you know, so beyond whatever the subject matter is. And so I'm assuming over time you've picked up little things that work well for you.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have something right now off the top of your head when I'm saying that might work, that works well for you?
Yeah.
You want to share that?
Oh,
sure. I'm asking you to share that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of like.
And I don't want to put you on the spot because I know you don't like that, but I just figured you. Jump a little pointer.
Yeah. So try to just use short reminder words,
okay,
so that I can see it and will drop my memory of just what I want to portray. But I usually start with like full written out and I work toward like a short
name and hell. Okay. So I kind of do very similar, but I sometimes go a little bit longer. We're gonna run through some of these real quick. And then I gotta keep track. Well, I guess I got a few extra minutes here tonight. So I wanna hit the homework. So everybody has one of these books, right?
So
okay, see the guy in the back, you know, he acts like he's asleep. I don't know. He had enough to give one to everybody, and So I don't. A few weeks ago, I was in my office. Brother Alex says, "Hey, can I borrow whatever book?" And they're gone. And so I couldn't necessarily see their what.
It's a gift you borrowed mine.
Well, no. Who brought it? So I couldn't find mine, I don't know if he's feeling guilty or what, but he goes, "Well, you can use mine." And so I have not looked at this book for a long time. So I'm going over it, and I'm like, man, one of the things you're going to see as we go through the, I use a highlighter a lot. Now, that works for me. It may not work for you. I like, you know, I have a little technique I like as far as a message or whatever I am. I'll make all the versions I'm going to use. It's going to be one color, whatever that is, okay? And so I wanted to highlight in this because I wanted to bring some of this out in here, but I didn't necessarily want to write his book, so it made me look, and I actually found mine. And the cool thing is some of this I already have outlined. So if you do read this book, it's an easy read. It's not going to take you forever. There's some pages in particular I'd like you to read. And I'm not going to get too far down in the weeds about, because there's all these different techniques. And I don't want to really get into those too much, because I don't want you thinking and teaching like, well, I'm doing this method or I've got to do this method. You need to be who you are. Whatever that is, and maybe you're trying to figure that out. Why I'm on this little subject of being who you are. You ever seen anybody or one preacher copy another? Okay, and so what happens when a preacher copies another preacher?
It's inauthentic.
Yeah, and everybody starts laughing. Well, they're copying so and so. Okay, now there may be a need. You know, and I'm thinking of a handkerchief. Okay, there are some preachers and that use a handkerchief, and they need it and they use it. Okay, now you may have probably needed one time in 40 plus years, and I just reached down and grabbed a Kleenex, and it was at church camp, and that was it. Okay, so be who you are. Don't copy. Be who you are. Whatever that means, okay? If you're not an aisle walker, don't be, unless it's a natural thing for you. If that's natural for you, then be it, okay? If it's natural for you to wipe your face or whatever, fine. Just make sure it's you and you're not trying to be somebody else. That's my whole point. Be you, whatever that might be. And don't be a copycat. Be you. And that goes into this outline that we're going to, or these outlines we're talking about. Obviously, we're looking at my outlines and how I do them. You don't have to do them that way, but they may be helpful. You may find something that it works. And maybe it's a combination of what you got going on and everything else. But I will tell you, for me, this has worked pretty well for a lot of years up until recently. Okay. Now that has nothing to do with the outline. It has to do with other stuff. And so I'm having to rewrite some things, but some of these are big and I'm lazy and I don't want to rewrite them. So, but you need to be able to look at it and see it out of the corner of your eye and know where you are. Mm-hmm. And so whatever you do, however your method is, if you can't just glance and know where you are, I would suggest you to try to change that. Okay? Let me have a comment question. Let me wait. Yes, for the book.
Just, I know everybody's kind of sharing their experience. You probably don't want that. But when I first made an outline, it was like, okay, I got the outline done, and then that you're crushed when you're preaching.
Yeah.
And Brother Jake made a comment a few minutes ago. From my perspective, it's the outline should be how you studied and then what you studied, and it could tie you in your study. And you might even get to the point where you're putting stuff on the outline that you know you're not going to bring out. But for the purpose of studying, Brother Sean said something here in class one time about, He asked us, you know, well, how do you study for your message? And it was like, well, duh, you study your outline. No, you study the verses before it. You study the verses after it. In almost every passage, I mean, there might be some passages that you are just going through for one verse. But so your outline really, it's there. Like you're saying, you glance at it, you know where you're at. But it's almost as much a help when you're studying.
It's the biggest help when you're studying, I believe.
And it's your crush for when you're preaching. Because if you haven't spent time studying that, that's why I say, like, put some verses in there Maybe you're not going to read them during the message, but if you're going to keep this outline, which you've said for years, keep every outline, you did all this work. Well, if you go back and study it in a few years or in months, you may bring that out this time.
So. Yep, exactly. And I'm going to move on. Somebody have something? Yes.
I'm down into the method.
Just did it. Go ahead.
Now, I'm teasing you slightly.
It's fine.
Teasing you a lot, okay? It's a subconscious thing.
Yeah,
it's not the worst thing in the world. But if you're up here and you're really doing a lot of teaching and stuff like that, it can be a little... distracting. Okay? And I'm all telling you that.
So you're
live on the same thing. You got my own little stuff. Yeah. So we all have everybody in this room and not in this room has had stuff like that.
Yes.
And when you become aware, I don't want you to be afraid to do, teach, whatever, but you will, if you're aware of it, you will get better about it.
Yes.
And so we all got it.
Yes.
It may be different. So when you're not by yourself, go ahead. I know now.
You can't do that.
Right? Just let it come.
I'll let you. I won't say a word this time. Maybe.
It's okay because I'm thinking of it.
I know. And you will. You will.
One thing I have added to my lessons is asking myself questions based on what I'm reading.
Yeah.
Because I've had multiple questions come up when teaching that have absolutely nothing to do with what I'm teaching on, but there'll be a word there or something that catches somebody. And it'll trip me up too. And I'll look at it and I'll say, this is a great word. How cool is this? And I'll write it down for myself. But I never remember to keep it for the audience that I'm teaching.
Yeah. So I'm a post-it note fan.
Oh.
Yes.
You
what? I don't care.
Please wear your business.
My time's over. I'm done. I'm just waiting for the lights to get turned out. And so if I can maybe share a little something down the road, but I literally don't care. Yes.
I'm going to go back to the beginning of your class where you were asking, you have things that you have to improve. I used to teach combat medicine when I was in the military. I don't have, obviously, experience preaching. Two of the things that we used to do to keep people from doing the, all that kind of thing is, number one, practice what you're doing in front of a mirror so you can see what it is that you're doing. I talk with my hands a lot. You're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, I do that too, though.
I still do it. I love
don't
it.
Get around, Brother Ryan, if you had to cut the collar.
The other is tape yourself and then listen to it. Because when you're talking to yourself in front of the mirror, you're not listening to the all that stuff. And then you go back and you go and count how many times you're doing it. And you realize, man, I only talked for 15 minutes and I did 120 ums. You start becoming very aware of it. And then pretty soon you're down to one or two in an hour of presence.
So after you said that, it made me think about, because I think that's what the first time I fully became aware of me doing stuff like that was listening to myself preach, which I don't like listening to myself preach, but that's the first time. That's when I picked up on it. Then I asked my wife, but she could care less either. But all right, so let's act like we're doing a little something here. I don't know if this will help you, Brother Christian. So I don't have so much on this one. So these are outlines of lessons that I got, and I left some of them purposely not typed up. I learn better, I feel, writing it out. So I like doing that. And maybe some of you are more proficient with typing and all that, but I have my people. I have people for that. And first it was my wife, and now what was that?
You just said,
I know, but I don't care. See, I've been doing it for a long time. I don't care. But Just lots of theory. I'm a post-it note guy. So I write a post-it note. And I also will write stuff on the mark. Okay. And so whenever I put one together, I make sure, and I've pre-written lessons because I didn't have enough room on a marker. Because I do, just like you say, you find something, maybe not going to use it, maybe next time, but you want it on this outline and you got nowhere to put it in here. Well, post it note, which sometimes you lose, or write it in the marker. And so that's what I do for what you just described. Now, so that may not work for everybody. The pins may not work for everybody. And you can see how, you know, I got different colors in here. And I literally, any outline I got, it's marked like this. Now, I don't feel an outline's a crutch. And the more you preach and study and prepare, you're going to have it in your mind. And you'll just be going right along and not even realize where you are at. You know, you realize you're coming to an end or wherever it is. And so somebody counting?
Yes.
All right. I mean, that so far.
You are. All
right. All right. So, yeah, I did. Now I'm thinking about it, too. So write your margin, get some post-it notes, whatever. So Brother Sean, I knew he told me this, that he did this. And I talked to him earlier today and I kind of forgot, and I texted him a little bit ago. So I wish I would have done this when I started out. And he's been doing this for over 30 plus years. So when he preaches a message, he writes down the congregation or the audience, whoever that was, whether youth rally or home or wherever it is, he writes that down and he puts the date. And so he knows, he can know on, you know, 5 years ago at this youth rally or this revival or whatever, I preached this message, or Sunday, 5 years ago, I preached this message. I wish I would have done that because I think that'd be kind of helpful. Now, I have preached the same message 3 times in 1 day. And now my wife was with me. Obviously, not everybody else was with me, but nobody picked up on that. And when we got in the car coming home, I asked my wife, and she's like, no, I didn't know that. She'd been there for every one of them, and she never picked up on that. Now, every message is slightly different. And so you can preach something in the morning or you preach something on Wednesday and you turn around again and you preach it again. In this book, and a couple things that we're going to talk about, one of the things is they talk about not being too long. It doesn't matter how many pages you've got. You got to allow the Holy Spirit to lead. And sometimes he wants you to shut up and you got 4 pages left, or you got 2 pages left, or you haven't got to the great part yet. And, but when he is done, you need to figure that out because now you need to be done. And, that takes a little bit, but you got to quit when he wants you to quit.
What's the tip? Well, man, you want to have more than you need.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm going to take your pins away. So got to keep in mind. Okay, got to keep in mind. I don't mind getting even. I got a boy pulpit, and there's a few. It's Julianne. Am I afraid to?
No.
Take that with a grain of salt. Brother Ryan.
Let's say, learn how to land the plane. And you might have pages of notes, Bill, but
yeah,
land that thing.
Exactly.
Let's get on.
Because maybe it's time for somebody to come to the altar. Yeah. Okay. I have preached long. Okay. And some of you've been around for a long time, you're like, ah, man, you were forever. Okay. I'm not like that so much anymore, but I used to be. And I feel sorry for those people back then when I look at some of these messages. And there's not more than one time where I will take a message of breaking into 3 parts and want to be Sunday morning, maybe this is going to be next Sunday morning, maybe this in the evening. And so, and Brother Dan is right, you want to have enough. Make sure you have enough. But just because you have a lot doesn't mean it all has to come out today. And so keep that in mind. And then another part in this book, if you will read it, and this is all in the first few pages, is keeping the audience's attention. Now, we're not in the entertainment business, but what do you have to be?
Engaged,
exactly. You have to be engaging. What's that?
Don't care about the subject.
Yeah, and you have to be engaging. You have to, yeah, I think that goes back to a little bit of a connection. And again, you got to be who you are. But you have to be engaged with the audience. Whoever that, maybe it's youth rally, maybe it's camp, maybe it's teaching B2C class, whatever it is. But you have to be engaged with that audience. And that will help you with the Holy Spirit when you should quit, because now you're engaged. And I hear this too many times. Well, you know, everybody's working, and they start blaming the audience because they're like dry sandpaper. Well, it's not always the audience. Sometimes it's you. You didn't study. You didn't pray. You didn't prepare. Whatever. And so you must be engaged. And that goes along with, you know, wrap it up. Don't be afraid to wrap it up, you know, and whenever that might be. And but follow that leadership, Holy Spirit. Now, Sister Tessa, now I think she feels sorry for me, but she said something on the way down. And she's still here?
Here.
Okay. I'm going to compliment you.
Okay.
You ready? A little nervous? A little bit of sweat going down your back right now? Like, I don't know what he's going to say. All right. I used to intimidate her. Those days are long gone. That chairs. Yeah, there we go. So you're like, move on to Sister Julianne. So, all right. So I taught a lesson Wednesday, and so I've been sick, my stomach's not been feeling right, and so I missed Sunday, and I went ahead and just, you know, when I was preparing, I just went ahead and brought the same lesson I would have brought then, and so I'm going along, and it's different for me now. I've always been gone quickly, and I enjoy that, and it worked for me. But right now I can't really do that. So I was, I just wrapped it up, have an invitation, and you know, wrapped it up. Okay, you're gonna have to go sit by Brother Patrick. And I'm sorry, I shouldn't have put that on you, but that's what's going to happen.
Freeze.
Just teasing. I'm totally, totally teasing you. But she's like, she was telling me on the way down, she's like, she's totally teasing you.
I mean, I'll just add the notebook.
Your father, Jay, take over. So she's like, man, you know, Wednesday that was really good. You're like, you were done, and you weren't, you know, we were too long, or, you know, all that good stuff. And I wasn't really thinking about it. And I just kind of felt it was time for the Holy, you know, the Holy Spirit was done, and it's time to him to do his thing with the invitation. And, you know, you got to let God do his thing and whatever that might be, because I'm not saving anybody. I've never saved anybody. But God saved a lot of people. I'm one of them that he did. And you gotta let him do his thing. And I will tell you, if you're really long, now I used to be really long, so I'm talking about myself. It is noticeable to people. And there are times where I've sat there. Now, I'm not gonna get in you and the Holy Spirit, because that is the person that is in doing the lesson and doing all that, okay? But I've listened to messages sometimes, like, man, you should have wrapped this up 20 minutes ago. But I'm not the Holy Spirit, and I'm not the one being worked and all that. So, you know, I would maybe tell one of my boys that, I would probably not tell anybody else that unless somebody came to me. So you don't have to worry about that. If I think you're too long, I'm probably not going to tell you. I'll just leave.
Oh,
anybody else? And we got a question. Okay, so here's another one. We'll just thumb through some of these. This one I wrote. I'm just trying to get through some tight ones there. Okay, so this actually, and the reason I put this in here, this is a funeral. And I want you to know. Okay, so you kind of see, anybody know how that Roman rule, not Romans, the Greek, how do they do that with all the Greek numbers and letters? And okay, so that's technically all the correct way to do an outline. They don't really do that at all, but I kind of fake it some way. And so I'll put, you know, I usually do this, put a verse, and I put a little bit about it, and I do it that way, and then maybe highlight it or something like that. And so I do it that way, and almost everyone's the same. So this is a funeral. This is maybe my grandma's funeral that I did. I just want you to know, however your technique is to put an outline together, you can use it on anything. You can do it on a funeral. You can do it on a message. Do it on a Sunday school lesson, whatever it might be. And this happens to be a funeral. So now, back to something that Brother Josh said a minute ago about writing things out. In a funeral, you tend to.
Funeral's a little different.
A little different, but there's a message. So the message is not on the, I don't think it's on the back page. I think I have it in here somewhere. Your outline will be virtually the same. Okay. And if I write an outline, I look at it as a message. I look at it, I can teach from it. And so that's how I try to make an outline. Yes.
So just out of curiosity, when you have a topic or you're preparing for a message and you already have an outline, but you're going to focus on something different, will you rewrite the whole thing?
No, I'll just,
add to it.
I have rewrote some or just that section. Most of the time I just add to it.
Okay.
And it's very easy to do. So like some of these, Alex it's everyone.
Well, I guess I'm going to say kind of date. Well, it's not, I didn't do this in 1936. So.
And so,
trying to see that was another funeral.
I laid all the important stuff.
Yeah. I just grabbed a bunch and
by the way, came across some stuff when I was in your guys' shoes and got to see in there from Brother Cooper. Yeah, gotta be plus. Got another B. I'm not bragging or anything. Another probably the last B plus he ever gave out. Got another B something, and he said if would have turned it in on time, it would have been an A. Guess what the topic was?
Chase Trinity.
Yeah, I've been pastor in Albany for 32 years.
Huh?
So, 32 years. So I think nothing changes. That's
a good point. I want to bring out.
Oh, he did it. It's up there.
And everybody roasted you. You weren't even here.
That's it. That may be it. Yeah,
that may be it. Roasted
you. Okay, so here's another one. So you kind of see how I do that. You can do whatever you want, whatever works for you. I have more of these I got underlined, but maybe my first time doing it. I wanted this in Albany, and if you think a pastor gets what he wants, we don't have this.
Let's see here.
So another thing I do, or used to, I don't do it so much anymore, but I have started doing it again since, you know, I got a little struggle stuff going on. Whatever I wrote out, to take another pen, different color, and write over it. And you'd be shocked
at how that stands out, whether you're sitting there studying or you're teaching something. And you'll notice that out of the corner of your eye. I think an outline is helpful to keep on track where you are, where you want to get to. It's primarily a study, tool. I don't think it's a crutch, okay? You know, somebody can say these lights are a crutch. Be like I am on the I could care less.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's just to help you out.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you got a crutch. So I heard of somebody, and I can't remember where, but I think they were visiting here, and they taught a class here. Might have been Brother Crawford back in the day. Not Brother Crawford.
$2?
No, down in San Francisco, Berkshire. Might have been him. But if you had an outline and you pulled it out, they wouldn't let you preach. And I think it's he that mentioned that. Okay, well, I think that's ridiculous. Whatever works for you, I will tell you, you need an outline of some sort, whether you preach from it or you just teach from it or practice with it. Now, it was mentioned about, looking in a mirror. And so sometimes when I'm working and I'm studying, I might think of a part of the message and I'll preach it in my head, how I'm going to bring that out. And I don't quite do that some more with a brother. Keppel, who told you to go preach the cabbage heads or something?
Third Crawford.
Yeah. And he told him to go out in the yard and preach to the cabbage heads. And did you ever do that?
Never really.
Yeah. But it made his big point, you know? And if you think of people as cabbage heads in a good way, we're like, I don't care. I don't really care. Per se, what you quote are thinking of me wrong or right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And eventually you have to get to that point. And whatever that might be. Now, I do believe there's a point where you should think about and care about how people perceive you. But there's also a balancing in there where, you know, you just get yourself too tied down. And I went, this is early on in my, did you have your hand up, Brother Crawford?
Sure.
I thought I saw Hannah. Okay, go ahead.
I know for me, I mean, I probably stumble fast, but I used to go really fast. And I do still actually try to work on not going fast, but I work on it when I'm studying. I work on it when I'm preparing. When I get on, I have to let go of myself. And so that doesn't mean when you say you surrender and be there, that doesn't mean that you aren't trying to work on articulating the points that God's laid on your heart. That if people can't understand what you're saying or can't follow, then it doesn't matter the message that God laid on your heart. It's not doing the job that.
And that's a good point. Part of which we're going to run out of time here. I got to get Brother Bo in here. I told him only 15 minutes, and I think I'm a little over that.